Okay, let's get going then. Hey, you made it. Thank you. Thanks for coming. How was TechFest, all right? Yeah, non-committal grunt. So when Microsoft put out a call for topic, and I said I'd really like to speak about this technology that you write servers in JavaScript, and it came out the open source community, and it's really completely not at all Microsoft, I was kind of expecting them to say thanks, but no thanks. So it's really groovy that they invited me to come and speak about this, and I think it's an indication of the way that certainly some of the dev teams within Microsoft are kind of thinking about code. Code is good. And I love C#, and I'm actually pretty productive in it, but good developers learn new languages, and this year my challenge was to learn a new language, and I wanted to learn more JavaScript, so I started playing with Node, and I just had so much fun. So I'd like to share that with you and just kind of give you an introduction to what it is and how we can get really productive in it pretty quickly. So Node is JavaScript. JavaScript on the server. We're writing our server-side code in JavaScript. Has anybody not seen this ever? No hands at all. Everybody's excellent at Node. Has anybody has seen Node? Right. So my introductory talk, hopefully it makes sense to everybody that's already seen it. Okay, we're going to be talking about JavaScript on the server. I'm going to talk to you about how Node is modular by design and why that encourages us to write really, really good code. And for those of you that saw Amy's client-side talk on client-side JavaScript, she spent a lot of time talking about how modular is good. Self-contained bits of code that are single purpose and they do what they want and they talk nicely with each other. This is good architecture, and it's not constrained to our traditional C# classes. We can apply these patterns to JavaScript. And then I'm going to take us from hello world all the way through to real world. We'll write some code, we'll get it deployed, and we'll have a look at what it actually looks like. So in the first instance, we're going to be writing JavaScript on the server. This is exciting stuff. We can do this now, because in 2008, Google gave us the Chrome web browser. And one of the things that made Chrome really fast was the JavaScript engine, the V8 JavaScript engine. And people went, this is really quick. We can actually use this to write server-side code. We've now got a platform that's fast enough that we can use to write server-side code. So Node itself is written in C++, and it is. It's really, really fast. So Ryan Dahl that wrote this is obsessed with performance, is obsessed with speed. And all the optimizations that he's made along the way, all the little decisions, has all been optimized for performance and for speed. So it is really, really fast. Node is a single-threaded application, which is a bit odd when you think about a web server. In the context of a web server, you'd expect a web server to have lots of threads dealing with lots of requests, right? So Node is single-threaded. And the trick is that single thread doesn't do a lot of work. But what it does do is pass off all the heavy lifting, all the I/O, all the things that take a long time, pass them all off to worker threads, so it can get along with being a web server and being responsive to all its clients. And in Node, they have a term for this. They call it evented I/O. So evented I/O, it basically means it doesn't block. You make a call into the server, it passes the work off to somewhere else, and it gets on with doing its job like a squid. No, not making any sense? Okay, try and explain it using bunnies. If I can just get this going. Okay, that's not what I wanted to see. Here we go. Okay, how does that look? Okay. Full credit to whoever Simon Willison is, don't know. I went on the internet, said, what's evented I/O? I want to grok this, I want to understand it, and this was the single best explanation I could find. Your web server is like a bunny. And I've thought this in the past, haven't you? There are hamsters, they turn up, they want internets. Hamsters always want internets. So it's a single-threaded. We have one bunny, and the bunny is serving his internets to the hamster. But more hamsters turn up, and they start to get impatient. They're all using different browsers. So what do? We add bunnies. We add threads to our web server. Suddenly we can keep more hamsters happy, and it's all good. But we scale because we have the best product since Facebook. More and more people come. Suddenly, some of those bunnies are busy. They're hitting some web API. It takes a couple of seconds to come back. And in the meanwhile, there's a queue building up behind that thread, behind that bunny. And before you know it, lots of very unhappy hamsters. Okay. So what Node does is it replaces all those bunnies with a single hyperactive squid. Runs up and down the queue going, what do you want? Okay, what do you want? Okay, what do you want? Okay, that's its job. In the meantime, he's got a whole army of bunnies doing stuff behind him. But his job is to keep responsive and just to serve those requests. So does that all make sense? We all understand Evented I.O.? Where's my PowerPoint? So the way that it does this, the way that it can run up and down the line, the way that it can palm the work off to other things is using callbacks. Now, callbacks are becoming more and more familiar to us as C# developers because we see things like lambda expressions and we see things like funcs. They're becoming more and more familiar. But basically, a callback is a body of code. It's the code I want you to do after you've done that thing. Okay, so any of you that have been using the new C# 5 features, the async and await keywords, you'll be familiar with this as a concept. Go do something. Take your time. That's cool. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing. And when you've finished, here's a body of code that I want you to then run. And the little bit of code that you then run is the thing that then goes back to the right hamster and says, here's your internets. Okay, so in JavaScript functions, callbacks are actually quite nice because in JavaScript it's dynamically typed, which gives us the ability to just pass these things in as things to do. So here's an example of a method that brings in some parameter and it brings in a couple of things to do. Here's something I want you to do if you worked, and here's something I want you to do if you didn't. So the execution comes into this thing, it runs its if statement. In this case, it checks if the number's bigger than 5. If it is, it does action A. If it doesn't, it does action B. Is that all straightforward? Yep. That's at the heart of Evented I.O., and that's what keeps Node so quick, and that's what keeps it so responsive. So we move on to the next thing I want to talk about, and that's modules. Now, Node is incredibly modular. So all the little bits of things you want to do in Node Core has a whole heap of modules. So Node is itself, it is not an HTTP server, but one of the things it does really, really well is just sits very lightly over the top of HTTP and allows you to write a web server or HTTPS. It also allows you to write TCP servers using NET, the NET module. Right, it's got access to the file system. It's got core modules allow you to do very, simple things that you'd expect to be able to do. It's very, very modular. You can build your own. You can build your own modules. If the things in Node Core isn't quite enough, if you want to do more, you can build your own. And the way you do this... Now, did you guys see Glenn Block's Script CS talk the other day? And he was talking about... pound load, which I think he was talking about hash load, but he's American, so we'll forgive him. You load in the things that you want to use. You load in your modules. And in JavaScript, we can use this global method called require, this global function. So we can tell our code, we require that other module. So we create our module using the exports keyword, the exports object. We set a function, give it a name, call it foo. We say exports.foo is this body of work. OK? Okay, so we've now told Node we're exporting that function called foo, and then in our class that requires that module, we bring it in using the require helper. And you can see here that by convention, I haven't had to require helpers.js. I can just bring helpers in. It will know I mean the JS file called helpers. Okay? And when I require that object and I bring that into scope, now I have action to, I have access to an object called helpers, and I can invoke the foo function on that. Okay? So we can write our own modules, we can bring it in. Lots and lots of people write modules in Node. NPM is it's available on npmjs.org. It's the Node package manager. And it's growing so fast, they've stopped recording how fast it's growing quarterly. Monthly, they've had to switch to quarterly because its rate of increase is so big. It's not quite as big as Gems yet, but I think it's overtaken NuGet, and it's going much quicker than both of those two. So people are using Node. This is a vibrant ecosystem. People are writing real solutions using this technology. And it's a really exciting space. And when you use it and you kind of get going with it, you can kind of see why people are interested in it. So let's do that. Let's go from hello world to real world for the rest of this this talk. Now, based on the number of hands that went up when I said who's seen Node, I'm imagining that most of you have seen this code before. So this is our hello world scenario. So I'm just going to take a minute, just go through that. I've explained how we use the require function to bring in the core module there, the core module called HTTP. That's going to bring an object into scope, and we can call create server on that. The thing that we're passing into create server is a function. And it's a function that describes what do we want to do when our web server gets hit. So our web server is going to get hit with a request. And the details of that request will be in that object called req. And we're going to supply a result, a response to that request. And in this instance, the function that we want to run is we're going to write out a header. We're going to set it to 200. It's OK. This is all good. And we're going to end that response with the words, hello world. Okay. So that function is going to get passed into our web server. And it's going to get invoked when our web server is asked for something. Now, frankly, this isn't going to give us the best website in the world. Because if we browse to our homepage, it's going to say hello world. And if we browse to /user/Bob, it's going to say hello world. And if we do a post with some really important confidential information, it's going to say hello world. We can probably do better. But it's a real web server. This is the hello world experience. So we take that object, that server that comes out of create server, it comes back as an object, and then we call the .listen method on it, and we give it the port to listen to, and we're set up, we're running. We're absolutely running. So that one line of code is a web server. Hello world is a web server. I just remember getting, just my mind was blown when I saw this. I hadn't had so much fun in years. One of the things that you do when you write code is you plumb stuff to do to stuff. You might have error logging, and there's bitty bobby stuff to do. It's inevitable, right? We all have to write that sort of stuff. So there is a term in the Node community called middleware, and it's probably prevalent in other areas of software as well. It's called middleware. It is quite overloaded, but when I hear middleware, what I hear is connecting things to things, doing plumbing, busy work. That it probably means other things to other people, but that's what I hear. So examples of what a middleware might do. Maybe it serves up your static files for you. Maybe it does your logging or your compression or stuff. Okay. I'm going to show you an example of a web framework, and this web framework sits on top of a piece of middleware called Connect, and it's very popular in the Node community. Now, when you do come to pick a web framework, there are so many options. Honestly, I'm not even going to list them. Just Google it, web framework for Node, and you'll just get reams and reams and reams. Some of them are really, really popular. There isn't, as far as I can tell, there isn't a Rails. There isn't one. Like, the Ruby community, some people like Sinatra and some people like other things, but mostly they use Rails. There doesn't seem to be one like that for Node, but the one I want to show you today in my demos is called Express, and it is one of the more popular ones. So like I say, it's built on Connect, and it handles stuff like it does our routing for us, so we don't need to do any of that plumbing work on how do you take hold of that request URL and how do you pick it apart and send it into the appropriate bit of code to do, you know, to do the work. Connect will do that for us. And it also does our sort of our model view separation, so it'll we can create an object to represent the model, and we can pass that into a view. It's all not, and it uses a templating engine called Jade. I'm going to show you all these things. So we're going to get into demos now. My very good friend Mr. Walter Rumsby tells us that if you're afraid of the command line, don't be afraid of the command line. These never a wiser word has been spoken. So I'm going to show you some code here. I'm going to be using the command line. Don't be afraid. We'll be okay. Okay. So, let's start at the beginning. So, we're going to use the Node Package Manager today. An NPM is pretty powerful, and we can use it to install our packages in much the same way as the NuGet command line. You can bring your packages in. NPM is very powerful. I have installed on this machine, I've installed the web framework I want to use, and it's Express, which allows me to call into Express. Okay, so I can just use the Express keyword here, and I'm going to... Can you guys not read that? Okay. Oh, it's going to mess with my tabs, mate, because the second tab will be the original size. How's that? Okay, I'll just have to write less. Okay, so what I want to do is bootstrap an app. I want Express to create the skeleton for me because I really, really don't like typing. So I'm going to create an app. Has anybody got an idea for a really, really good name? Spend Vision. There already is one of those. We're hiring. Okay, this is just going to be my demo. We'll just call it something sensible like zombies. So I've created my app, and it's an Express has already written a load of code for me, and this is what it's done for me already. Okay? So it's created these things, and I really want to show you what it's done. So one of the interesting things that it's done in the first instance, I need to go into that app, okay. So I want to look at this file here, the package.json. So it's just a little blob of JSON, and it's just the metadata that's been created for us that describes our application. You see it's got a name, and we can change that and whatever. The interesting thing here is that it's describing the dependencies we have. So if we want to run this app, we have to install those dependencies in order for it to be able to run. Now I'm going to do that now, and I'm going to trust that the Wi-Fi here is going to hold up. So it goes off to NPM, and it says, you're trying to run an Express app, aren't you, with the Jade templating engine. Okay, so I'm going to bring all those things in. I'm going to build that all up for you so that you can do that work. Okay, and it's worked. Okay. Maybe, let me just clear that. Maybe I want to bring another dependency in at this point. Maybe I'm not that into just using CSS raw. Maybe I prefer a pre-compiler like Sass or less. Maybe I just want to bring, and maybe I want to save that configuration to my package.json. And I want to bring less in. Okay. So it's going to bring that in. And there we have it. So we've got our less dependency right here. Okay? So that's pretty easy. NPM's doing a lot of the heavy lifting for us. It's managing all those sort of hierarchical dependencies. You bring this in, and oh, that means you need that. And we've brought in Express, which means that we need to bring in Connect, and it knows which versions to use. So hopefully, if you're familiar with NuGet and you're familiar with those kind of technologies, this will be familiar to you. Okay, so let's see. Actually, have a look at our app. So let's just run it. Okay, so it's running. It's telling us that it's listening on port 3000. Let's have a look. There we go. So it's not a really, really exciting app, but it's up. It's running. And that's fine. But now, obviously, I realize you guys don't write bugs, but some people do. So debugging is obviously, it's a good thing, right? The ability to debug. So what I want to show you is how we can actually use a product called Node Inspector to do this work for us. So again, I've already done this. So install global Node Inspector. So I'm not going to do that. I've brought the Node Inspector product in here. Okay, so what I want to do is actually run my app in debug mode, and it's telling me that the debugger is listening on port 5858. Okay? So let's just go to another tab and let's run Node Inspector. Okay, it's running. So it's actually telling us how to go and look at it. Okay, so I'm just going to grab that. Okay, so there's my code, and here's my app. So I've got that familiar, for those of you that have done front-end JavaScript dev, you can set your breakpoints in your JavaScript, you've got that familiar debugging experience, and suddenly it's a little bit nicer. Just to show you that working, we can set a breakpoint here on the user's route. I can go back to my app. I can browse to users, but I'll just put one slash in just for fun. And it's stopped because we've broken. And we were here, and of course we've now got access to all our locals, and we can debug. So that's pretty groovy. Okay, so let's stop that. Okay, so the next thing I want to show you, I want to have a look at the views. So by default, we're using a template engine called Jade. And now, again, it's open source. You have all the options in the world. By default, Express supports a couple. There's one called EJS, which, if you configure it, will let you just use regular HTML if that's your thing. I like Jade. I haven't used it a whole heap, but the more I use it, the more I like it. I've got a couple of files in here, one called layout and one called index. So this is our layout. So it's taken all the angled brackets out that you'd expect to see in HTML. Did I just say CSS? I meant HTML. You guys knew what I meant, right? It's taken all the angle brackets out. It's taken a lot of the verbosity out. I just think it's clearer. It's cleaner. It's just a really nice syntax. And what we do have is the ability to bring our models in much the same way as Razor allows us to bring in the model that we send in from the controller. So we can pass models in into the Jade views. And there's a couple of different ways of doing that. This is one way. We can just use title equals. And that's the equivalent of writing a title tag and then just sort of passing the thing that we want to put in the body of the title tag. Yeah? This is our actual index. This is our main page. And the first thing we see that is extends the layout. So if we browse to index, and again, in very much the same way as you have thing in Razor, you have things like render body and render section, and you can do that kind of partial view work. In exactly the same way, we can extend our main layout, so it brings in our HTML document, and then it puts this bit in, and this is the block that it puts in for the content of this page. So again, we have this notation here of an H1 tag with the value of whatever the title is in our object. The title, that'll get rendered as a header. And then we have these p tags here that say welcome to the title. So the same piece of text is going to, the same object from the model is going to get rendered. Is that all making sense? Feel free to shout out. Okay, so it's, as I say, it's just the two different ways of bringing in that model. So because the question was, well, why is there an equal by the H1 but not by the P? H1 equals followed by something means write out some H1 tags, and as the content of those H1 tags, put the something. Go to the model and grab the title element out of that model and just render that. If you don't have the equals, it's like writing P tags, and it's like writing the word welcome to in P tags. And then because you've done that, because you've actually put some plain text in, you need some other notation to say, but I also want you to go to the model and grab that bit of data down. And that's where you see this hash and curly brace notation here. And that's a hash, Glenn, not a pound. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the question is, can you set CSS classes to P's and H1s? And the notation's actually very, very simple. So I don't have a CSS class called this, but let's say I wanted to... So if I wanted to set a class, I would say this dot this class. And if I wanted to give it a specific ID, I would... I think I can just do it like this. Hash my ID. And as long as you've set your CSS up to have those IDs and those classes and whatever, then that notation will just hold. What about other data attributes? I'm not entirely sure. Maybe... Oh, in terms of just using attributes, so like if you have an image tag and you want to set the source of that image tag, yeah, as Glenn said, you use parentheses and you just comma separate them. Yeah. Okay. So that's the views, and we keep talking about, I don't need to save those changes. So we keep talking about the model. So let's just have a very quick look at our route. Okay, so I'm going to show you how this gets called in a minute, but rest assured, Node will call into this route. It will call into our index function with a request and a response as parameters in exactly the same way as we saw in our default hello world http.create server. Okay? It's going to call into our function, and on the response object, we're just going to call render. And what connect is going to do, this is the middleware that sits underneath Express. What connect is going to do is going to wire up a view called index, which for this app, because we've told this app you're going to be using the Jade template engine, so it will look for index.jade. And again, this is all convention-based, and you can overwrite all this. It's going to look for index.jade, and it's going to look for it in the views folder, where the place where we just were. And then it's going to pass this object here. So where you saw in the views, where we were accessing the thing called title, this is where we pass in the thing called title here. Okay, simple enough. Okay. So that is our view and our route. Okay. What have I missed? Come on, you've all read my notes. What have I missed? No, nothing. Let's have a look at the app, the thing that's holding it all together. So, again, this is just code that got written for us when we bootstrapped the app. You can write this all from scratch. You can change the way this works. You don't have to use it. I quite like to start my app with a bit of a head start. I guess it's akin to using the project templates in something like MVC. It does some of the busy work for you, so you can get going and get productive. Okay, so we're going to bring in some requires. So we're going to bring in some modules. We've already talked about Express. This is where we have our default, some of the conventions kick in. So we're going to create an object called routes, and we're going to require simply ./routes. And what that means, it means go to the routes folder. And because we haven't explicitly told it what to look for, it will look for index.js in the routes folder. Okay. So again, just some simple conventions, less typing. It's got to be good, right? Bring in a user for another route. And then bring in these core modules, HTTP path. We're going to create an Express app. And the thing that comes back, that app, that's going to be a function. We're going to call Express, and it's going to give us back a function. And it'll be the kind of function that kind of smells a bit like the one that we used in the Hello World example. It'll be the kind of function that brings in a request and a response. And we're going to use that to pass around so that we can get on with our app. We then got some configuration stuff, so we're just setting up some default ports and views, and yes, we'll use the Jade view engine, and that's not really, really interesting. We can do environment-specific work here. We can configure in the dev environment work like, you know, use this local MongoDB connection string in the dev environment, but use this production connection string in the production environment, so we can do that kind of configuration work here. And this is where the routing happens. So setting up the routing is actually pretty easy. Now that we've got access to our, in the routes folder, we've got access to our index.js, we can just use this convention here of, for the root of our app, go to routes.index. And that's the function that takes a request and response that we want to call when the user browses to our root directory. If they browse to /users, then go to the user object and call the list function. And we saw that earlier. Okay, and then it's just a question of passing that app, that function of request and response, and we just pass that into CreateServer exactly the same way as we just seen 10 minutes ago. Okay, then we do a listen, specify the port, and we're good to go. Does anybody have any questions on that at all? To update the routes, do we have to go to app.js? Yeah, so this is a project template. This is a bootstrap to get us going. And I'm not convinced that this is scalable in terms of adding routes, adding complexity to the routing. And yes, you would probably want to write something that makes your life easier for you. But in this instance, if you wanted to add a route, yes, you would do something similar to this, require another object for the /albums route, and send the appropriate routes off. You could do that work here. You could delegate it off to some other class and bring it, create your own routing module, require it in, and call routing.init and set it all up. For the way this is written, yes, you would do that work here. Okay, so I've shown you the app. It's not, like I said, it's not terribly exciting, but it works. It's running. So we want to actually make it real world. So for a real world scenario, we actually want to put it somewhere. So we actually want to host our app. Where should we put it? Anyone? No one? What a great idea! Okay. Now, remember, kids, don't be afraid of the command line. Azure Websites has the Windows Azure Websites has a really nice management portal. It's fine. You can click the buttons that you need to click. But because, so no developers are comfortable with the command line. You've seen that we write code that way. You don't have to, but you're comfy doing it that way. It is a big part of that community. So the people that worked hard on getting Node as a first-class citizen up on the Windows Azure Websites platform, were people like Glenn here is just waving at me, were really keen on facilitating them to carry on using the command line, let them work natively. So they've created something called the Azure CLI. And the Azure command line interface is really powerful, and I'm going to give you a quick run through that today. So we're going to get this app, we're going to get it up onto Azure. Now, for those of you who were at the keynote and saw Scott Goo do this in like two clicks, you probably won't be impressed with this, but when I saw it, I was blown away. Okay, so in the first instance, we actually have to hook up to our account. And we can do that by downloading a .publish settings file. And then we import that publish settings file so that we're away. So I'll just show you how that works. It's actually not too bad. So I'm going to go Azure, account, download. And that's going to redirect me off to the management portal. I'm going to need to sign in. And I'm going to need my password, because I have no idea what it is. And I'm going to copy that. Oh, I didn't mean to browse away from it. I just meant it to do that. I'll just sign in as me. No, that's not going to work. I think it was that one. Okay. So we've browsed to, can't quite see that. Let's see if we can make this a little smaller. Drag it across. So we've browsed to manage.windowsazure.com/publish settings. Okay, and it's actually downloaded this .publish settings folder for me, which is lovely. It's not the best name ever, so I'm just going to, let me just move it somewhere else. I'll just put it in, here. And let's take the opportunity to, eek, what did I do? Sorry about that. Okay, let's just take the opportunity to rename it, because frankly, I'm not sure I could pass that, type that in properly. So we'll just call it Ian. Wow, that's exciting. Okay. So now I have my publish settings file. I've brought it down. And I can tell the Azure CLI that who I am. And I can say account, import, and it's in my, should be in my temp file, and it should be called Ian. Okay. So it's done. It was as quick as that. So download it, import it. The Azure CLI now knows who I am, and it can tell me about my Azure account. Okay, it's telling me to remember to delete it now that it's been, oops, don't do that, because it's got, sudo do it, god damn. Okay. So I'm hooked up to Azure, so I can have a look at my sites. It's going to go and say, well, let's have a look at your locations. What websites have you got? I've already got one called 10 Zombies Look. I can delete that. Probably wouldn't need it. Zombies. Yes, just delete it. Okay, so I've got some websites up here, CodeMania websites running on Azure. And just from the command line there, I can interact with my websites, and I think that's pretty powerful. Now, So we want to create a site for the app that we just made. It's not the best app ever, but we want to put it somewhere. So we're going to go Azure Site Create. And I haven't given him enough kudos in this talk yet, so another hat tip to Glenn, who told me the other night that if you do --git, it does more than just set up the Git repository for you. So if you log in to Azure through the portal, through the web portal, and you say, I'm creating a site, and it gives you a big button, and it says, do you want to create, do you want to hook up your source control? And you say, yes, and it gives you these nice options, and you can wire it up to GitHub and Bitbucket, and you can create a local Git repository on the Azure website. So the Windows Azure web server will host a Git repo. You have a Git repo on your machine, and then you push the code, and when the code gets pushed to that Git repo on the server, it automatically deploys the site. Okay, so that's nice. If you create the site with this Git option up front, it wires all that up for you. It's magic. What I really wanted to do was actually build zombies.ms, azuresites.net, and it wouldn't let me. Somebody's already taken it. Ruin my demo. So let's try that one. What do we think? Should be okay? Okay, it looks like it's doing something more. So for those of you that weren't quite sure what I just said, I'm going to be doing a Git talk later this afternoon, and I'm going to be going in some detail around what all of that means. But fundamentally, we've created a repository, a way of holding our code, the node code that we've just written, up on the Azure website. And we've created an identical clone of that on this machine here. And we've created the link, the wiring that we need for the local one to push up to the remote one. And what Windows, so that's just Git. But what Windows Azure does is it sets up some hooks that say, you've put code in this Git repository, therefore I'm going to do stuff. And because it's a node application, the stuff it does is it runs npm install. In fact, I should be doing this whilst I'm talking. It runs npm install, brings in all the dependencies, puts it all together, and deploys the site. So the site should be live. Okay. So I'm going to show you what that looks like. For those of you that haven't seen Git, I'm going to show you some stuff. I'm going to go over it pretty quickly, but I'll be talking about it in much, much greater depth later this afternoon. So we have some changes here. So it's created a Git repository for me locally. It's set up some stuff. It's added some this and that. I'm just going to add it all, and I'm going to commit it with the message of first. And I'm not going to use an exclamation mark because they wouldn't like it. There we go. So add all that. So now what does it look like? We've got a clean repository. We've got a commit in the log. It contains all those changes, and I'm going to push it. And I'm going to push it up to my remote. Let me just show you the remote. And again, I haven't had to set any of this up. Let me just show you what it looks like. It looks like that URL pointing up to the source control manager, the scm.azurewebsites.net. So that's pretty groovy, eh? Just me? Okay. So let's push up to Azure. We're going to push our master branch, and that's going to go. I'm going to need to put that password in again. Again, I have absolutely no idea what that password is. Something with lots and lots of characters. And off it goes. This is all the stuff it's doing. You can read it really, really, really quickly. It's doing all the things that we just talked about. It's noticing that code is coming into the repository, and it's doing node stuff for us on the server. Okay, so the end result, and you can see here, so here it is, it's doing all the npm installed. Yes, Glenn?
Yeah,
Interesting. So the way, thank you, I just learned something. So this is core team member in the audience. Yes. So the way that Azure actually knows to run NPM, it knows that this is a node site, is it looks for specific bits of information in your app. It looks for app.js or server.js. If you put up an app that just has HTML in the root or something with ASP in it, it won't think it's a node app. It won't run NPM. It won't do this work. And if you put something with foo.js, it will give you a warning to say, looks like a node, but you haven't called it app.js or server.js. It's not 100% foolproof. I find that very hard to believe, Mr. Block. Okay. Cool, thank you. So, the site is now deployed, and I can go and have a look at that just by doing Azure site browse. Okay, so it's taking me to zombiesdemo.azurewebsites.net. It's been deployed, it's spinning up, and there's our app. Not very exciting, but it works. It says in my notes, pause for applause. Stop. So what I want to do now, so let's go back into our view. Let's just make a really trivial change because this, in fact, let's not do that. Let's go into the routes and make that change because this isn't an app about Express. This is an app about, so it's not, eek. What did I just do? Undo. So this isn't about Express, this is about zombies. Okay. So let's save that. I'm going to just type properly. Yep, so I've got my change. I'm going to commit that. Zombies. And let's, right, I'm going to do this really quickly. So, wait, let's get ready. Let's get here. This is my portal. So having spent all that time in the command line, you can see that basically it's just, the command line is allowing us to run the commands that are available to us in the portal directly from the command line. But there's a lot of crossover between, if you can do it here, you can do it there. Okay, so let's just go have a look. This is my zombies demo. These are my deployments. You guys can see that. Okay, and there's my first deployment. So I'm just going to I'm going to push this up to here. I'm going to hope that I've still got that in memory. I'll just go grab it again. I think it was still in memory, but wait, did that go without a password? Because I wanted it. It went without a password. I wanted to show you. Look at that. We can even do it without passwords these days. I wanted to show you that the fact that you've pushed it and then the portal will live. It'll like do a little spinny to go, oh yeah, I'm busy and I'm doing a deployment, and then bam, and there's my other deployment, and you can see it's turned up. So now if we go back to the site, we can see that it doesn't say Express, it says zombies. Okay, so it's just because it's rebooting, it's restarting, so there it is, it says zombies. So that's the demo. Let's go back to the side. So we've talked about the Azure CLI, and I have finished a little bit early, but that's basically it. My last bit of advice to you is seriously just go and have some fun with this. This is the most fun I've had programming in forever. As a C# dev wanting to learn something new, if you want to go and just enjoy the joy of programming, go and have a play with Node. Yes, Glenn. Oh. Apparently I haven't finished.
So do Azure space site space deployment space list.
Hang on a minute. The scenario is that I've deployed a bug. I find that very hard to believe, but we'll roll with it. Go on. Not me, obviously, yeah. Oh, yeah, so this one. Oh, thank you. You have to type it in properly, Glenn?
Yeah.
Redeploy. Impossible to believe. Look at that. That's awesome. Thank you, Glenn. Just made my demo a little bit better. So to say what Glenn was just saying, this hasn't changed our Git scenario. So from a source control repository, we still have all those changes. They're still locked away in the repo in the history. But what Azure has done has rolled back to the previous deployment and pushed it live. Okay, go on then. Seeing as though it's you. Oh, okay, so this is where you would set up your connection strings. Yep. So I'm guessing this is very much like this page here, where you can set up your Git URLs here, and you keep going down, and there's your app settings. Yeah. So if you have, like I have one of my play sites, I have a Mongo Labs connection string, and it lives in there, and it comes in, let me just, in here, so you've got your process.env, and this is where it comes in. So you got your process.env, and let's say you had an app setting called connection string, you would have process.env.env. Connection string, and I think it's not quite as simple as that. I think there's some convention you have to use around the syntax, but that's where that variable would come in. Yep. Cool. Yep. And just to repeat that actually wires all the way through to your Jade template, so they can put that straight into your views. Cool. So thank you to Mr. Block for helping me improve my demo. Go have fun with Node. If you want to grab me, for those of you that are interested, I'm Ian Randall. I'm a full-time .NET developer. I work on ASP.NET MVC. I'm a C# dev. I work at SpendVision. It's completely inappropriate to use this opportunity to let you know we're hiring, so I won't do that. I'm a code maniac. If you want to hit me, the best way to get me is on KiwiPalm on Twitter. I'm going to be talking about the Git side of that little talk later this afternoon. I'm KiwiPom. You can reach me on that email. Remember to evaluate the session. Thank you very much. Thank you.